Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Pastor Colin brought a phenomenal message last week. If you weren't around, I encourage you to listen on the website. He manages to put profound truths in such a simple way. You're sitting there going, man, it didn't take many words to describe that in such a powerful way. And so if you didn't listen to last week's message, he was talking about the kingdom of God, being a person of the kingdom, but he connected that with who we are in Christ and the victorious life that we have. I mean, it was a phenomenal word. So just encourage you to listen to that one. If you weren't here the Sunday after Faith Camp and you weren't here to hear Pastor Aaron Jane from the States, that was a phenomenal message. I think everybody that I've talked to that listened to that message that day said it was the best message they've ever heard on tithing. Now, it was actually about what is God first in your life, and a lot of it was about God being first, but he used tithing as a real prime example. And I know a number of people, it's changed their whole perspective and understanding what the tithe is, what it's all about, and has really just liberated them as to why we tithe, not just what it is, but why. And just breaking that spirit of mammon off your finances and all of that is powerful. So if you haven't heard that, have a listen to that one as well. There's loads up on the website, but check that out as well. But we're going to dive into the word this morning. If you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to just read a few things, comment on a few things, and it just encourage your faith. But expect God to do something in your life this morning. You might need to receive healing physically, mentally, emotionally in some way. You might need to hit something this morning in speaking to some things, commanding some things. So we're going to look at the kind of dynamic of faith this morning for a few minutes. So let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 12, the first few verses. Then we're going to link that into some other verses in a few minutes. It says here in Hebrews 12 verse 1, reading from the New International Version, the NIV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Have you ever done a 100-meter race? Remember back in the days of school, anybody remember that back that far? Everybody's done 100 meters, right? For me, I hated it. But anyway, you know when you see a shot on the TV or you're there and you're at the end of the, I was going to call it a runway, your end of the, it feels like that, doesn't it, when you're doing 100 meters. But you're at the beginning of this 100 meter and you look up and it's just dead straight. There's nothing in your way and you just see the tape at the end and you've got to get there as fast as you can. And that 100 meters, in one sense, it looks, you feel like I've got to beat everybody else or try to. But the way is clear. There's nothing in the way. You've got 100 meters ahead of you and it's just a clear runway ahead. Has anybody done the 110-meter hurdles? But you know what it looks like. You stand at the end and instead of seeing a clear runway, you see, is it 9 or 10? Thank you. You see 10 of these hurdles in the way. And I'd rather do the 100 meters, wouldn't you, than the 110 hurdle. Because you know what it's like when you try and do the hurdle and you clip one with your knee. Anybody kind of done the 110 meters and it doesn't quite work? You clip one, you fall over, you hurt yourself. You feel an idiot because everybody's watching you. Anybody done that? Maybe I'm the only idiot in the room that's done that then. But what we're talking about is similar to that. You see, we want the life of faith to be like a 100-meter racetrack where we just set off, we look down and we're like, the way is clear, it's brilliant. I'm just going to run down there. I'm never going to have any problems, never going to have any issues. I can just waltz down to the tape, get to the end of my life, get to where God ever wants me to be. And it's so brilliant. And you know what it's like? If you start running and there's nothing in the way, if you're not careful, your attention can be taken over to the left or to the right or to whatever, because there's nothing in the way that's going to trip you up, be a hazard, could cause you problems that you're going to have to keep your eye on, because the way is clear, is open. And in one sense, a parallel here, the writer of the Hebrews, is kind of, you don't need faith for the 100-meter race. Because there's nothing that you need faith for. You just have to go from start to finish. There you go. There's nothing in the way. And you get there. But life never seems to be like a 100-meter racetrack, does it? It's much more like your 110-meter hurdles, you know, whatever, or a 400-meter hurdle race, where stuff just comes up, things get in the way, and you're like, why does that have to be there? Can't this just be easy, simple? The life of faith, surely, can't we just hover a little bit off the ground and feel a little bit supernatural and just hover our way to the end of our lives without problems and anything like that? How many would like it to be like that? Come on, everybody should say, yeah, you're lying if you're not, okay, just to be straight with you this morning. And but we don't like the 110-meter hurdles, but that's why we need faith. You see, whoever wrote the book to the Hebrews, he says here, he says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out. Why do we need perseverance? Because there's going to be stuff on the way that's going to challenge us. It could be stuff in our own lives or things that happen around us, circumstances. It could be all kinds of different things, but we're going to need perseverance. But then he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So why do we need to fix our eyes on him? You know, if you're doing 110-meter hurdles, you've got to fix your eye on what you're doing. 100 meters is easy. You could even jog down there and not have any problems because there's nothing in the way. But when you're doing the 110-meter hurdles, you've got to keep your eye on each hurdle. You've got to get your steps right. You've got to get each stride and whatever you call it when you go over it. Jump? Any athletes here? No, obviously not. No, everybody's like, no, I'm, you know. Anyway, but you have to keep your eye on what's going on so that you get the strides right and the jump right and see the timing right. And as soon as you've done that one, there's a big sigh of relief in it. I made it. I didn't cripple myself. I didn't hit the deck. But then there's straight away, there's another one in front of you. How much in life seems to be like that sometimes? Sometimes it feels like there's more than one hurdle at one moment. It feels a bit like a long jump hurdle, you know? And you feel like as you're taking a jump, I've got to stay in the air over this because there's four of them underneath me right now, not just one. Anybody know life can be like that as well, right? You see, this is what our faith is for. Our faith is so that we keep, as far as the Bible says, if Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, then that means he authors faith. He produces faith in our lives to enable us to do the 110-meter hurdles, to take those strides, to keep our eyes on him, to jump over, to have victory, to get beyond the thing that challenges us and faces us right in front of us, so that then we're also ready for the next one. But what you find when you take one leap or one jump or one stride of faith and you get that victory, you find your faith is encouraged, your faith is strengthened, and then you see the next challenge in a different way than you saw the first one. There's a temptation that you can say, well, I'll do the next one in my own strength because I managed to do that one. Now I'll do the next one myself. But what tends to happen when you do that, because the writer says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. When we have some victory or things go well, it's very easy then to look to the left, look to the right. Before you know where you are, you clip the next hurdle and you fall. You trip or something happens. So the writer's talking about this race of perseverance. So keep this 110-meter thing in your head for a moment. Let's have a look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. We'll have a read of this. It'll all connect together in a few minutes. Everyone who believes, this is John writing here, everyone who believes. Now the word everyone in the Greek, when you really study that word out, in the Greek, the word everyone means everyone. Is that right? It doesn't mean special people. It doesn't mean mature people. It doesn't mean those that have been Christians for a long time. It doesn't mean, you know, there's certain anointed people that God answers prayer. It says everyone who believes that Jesus. Now, the word believe there doesn't mean those who acknowledge that Jesus is, you know, he's alive, he's real, yeah, there might be a God. The word believe there means those that put their faith in Jesus, those who put their trust in Jesus. So the Bible says here, John's writing, everyone who puts their trust or their faith in Jesus, that he is the Christ, is born of God. So in order to give your life to God, to give your life to Jesus, you've got to put your faith in God. There's two ways to run this 110-meter race. There's one to do it in your own strength, your own effort, in your own ability as a person. And many people are out there because, and many people in life are living that way, saying, I don't need God. I've got faith in my finances or in my job. I've got faith in what I've got in the bank. Or I've got managed to get quite comfortable in my life now. And so my faith and my trust is in what I have around me, my surroundings. Your faith and trust can be in a person. It can be in other people. It can be in yourself. But the Bible here says, everyone who puts their trust in Jesus, that he is the Christ, he's the Savior, is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well, loves Jesus. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Now, that means in there, carrying out his commands means walking in his will. It means to walk in his ways. It's not that God just barks commands at us to do as we're told. To walk in his commands means to walk in his will, to walk in his way. Verse 3, this is love for God, to obey his commands or to walk in his will, to walk in his ways. And his commands are not burdensome. They're not heavy. They don't weigh you down. See, a lot of people think that when you're going to command something, then you're putting something on them. You're putting a weight on them. You're putting a burden on them. But the Bible says that God's commands are not burdensome. How do we know that? Because then it says here, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. So to walk in God's will, to walk in his ways, to walk in his commands, to walk in the things of God means you're going to be an overcomer. How do we know that? Because God is an overcomer. He's never lost. He's never been defeated. Nothing has ever overcome him. The devil thought the cross was going to defeat Jesus. And the devil was laughing, seeing Jesus on the cross, thinking, that's it. He's on the cross. He's dead. We can mock him. The soldiers have done all that in terms of the physical, what that looked like. But Jesus hung there and he cried victory. It is finished. It is done. For the joy that was set before him, the Bible says, he endured the cross. He went through that because he knew there was victory for us. So this faith that we have in God, this trust that we have, this life that we have in God is an overcoming life. That's why the writer to the Hebrews said, fix your eyes on Jesus because he's an overcomer. He's a hurdler. He knows how to get through to the other side. He knows how to break through. He knows how to jump the hurdles. He knows how to move you forward. And so this life that we're talking about here is an overcoming life, overcoming faith. And his command is not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. What does that mean? That means your faith can stand against every temptation. The faith that you have, this overcoming faith that you have on the inside of you, is enough to overcome temptation, enough to overcome the things that challenge us every day in the world around us. The things that say you have to live like this, think like this, behave like that, compromise this, fit in like that, be the status quo like everybody else. That faith that we have overcomes. That's what we're speaking about in this context. Then it says, who is it that overcomes the world? Then it says here, only he who believes or puts his trust, puts his faith in Jesus, the Son of God. So this faith we have is overcoming faith. It's hurdling faith, not yodeling faith, it's hurdling faith. But it's victorious faith when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we keep our attention on him. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 11, kind of racing through some things because we want to have a bit of time just to let God do some stuff this morning. Is that okay? Mark chapter 11, verse 12 onwards. I'm going to read a little bit here, make a couple of comments, because this all ties together. Mark 11, verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, this is Jesus and the disciples, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. Just note the words here that are used. We're going to look at words quite specifically in the next few minutes. It says here, seeing. So Jesus saw something with his natural eye. Seeing in a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one eat fruit from you again. It's pretty harsh, isn't it? And his disciples heard him say it. Then reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And then he taught them and he said, Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill Jesus, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. The following morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Now, the next bit's really important in the context of what we're going to look at this morning, which we'll read in a moment. Interesting, just to put this together for a couple of minutes. Jesus saw something in the natural that looked like it could be fruitful. But when he got there, it was all show and no fruit. It looked good on the outside, but there was no real fruit coming from it. And then he spoke to the thing and obviously the tree withered. But after that initial speaking to the tree, he then went and cleared out the temple area. And why is that story in there like that? Because when he got to the temple area, there was a lot of buying and selling going on and people making money out of other people. And the temple was not the place that God intended it to be. People were using it to make money and all of that. And in one sense, the fig tree is like, well, things, the religious guys look good on the outside, but actually when you got close, there was no fruit. There was a lot going on there where people were saying, you've got to be like this, you've got to do this, you've got to fulfill all the laws and regulations to be good enough for God. And on the outside, things looked good, but when you got close, there was no fruit. So the parallel here that's coming out is Jesus speaking to this tree as a parable, as a parallel, if you like, to what was about to happen, what he was going to come across in the temple area, basically saying that without the life of God in you, there's going to be death. There's going to be no fruit. Nothing positive is going to happen. And then we see that the disciples see the tree and they're like, wow, Jesus, that tree you spoke to yesterday, it's dead. It's finished with. It's gone. Then let's note and look at what Jesus then says. Verse 22. He then says, have faith in God. Everybody has faith. Because he says here, have faith in. Everybody has faith. Some people's faith, as we've just said a few minutes ago, is in themselves. Some people's faith is in what they have. It's in their job, their career. Some people's faith is in their personality and character. Some people's faith is in their relationships, friendships, whatever. People have faith for something. Some people's faith is in their opinions, their outlook, their philosophy, what they think life's all about. Some people's faith is in their intelligence, their own abilities to do well, and all of that kind of stuff. But Jesus here, in the middle of this context, he's basically saying, without faith in me, things can look good on the outside, but there's no real life on the inside that's going to bear lasting fruit for the kingdom of God. Fruit that has any worth eternally. We could look good on the outside in our lives, like the tree looked good. It looked like it could be fruitful. We can have all the things of life in our lives that make it look good on the outside. But what God's interested in is what's happening on the inside of our lives. Because it's what's happening on the inside that's going to bear fruit. Now, we've already seen that having an overcoming life, a fruitful life, comes from having a trust and faith in God and who He is. So being fruitful is not based on our faith in ourselves or our abilities, intelligence, our giftings, what we can do. But our faith is based on who he is and our trust in him. Then it talks about us bearing fruit and becoming fruitful. So Jesus says here, in the context of all this stuff and the things we've read already, have faith in God. So he's saying there's one place to put your faith. One place to put your faith. Let's have a little continue to read. Then he said, I tell you the truth. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because he wanted to get their attention. I tell you the truth. What is he saying? There's loads of words out there. There's loads of philosophies, loads of opinions. There's loads of belief systems. There's loads of other faith. There's loads of other words being spoken out there. But he's saying, I, Jesus, God, on earth, in human form, I tell you the truth. This is your plumb line. This is the way to walk. This is what you need to hear, because this is the truth. This will keep you hurdling the hurdles all the way to the finish line. He's saying, I tell you the truth. So listen up, guys. That's what he's saying. He says, I tell you the truth. If, wow. So he starts with if here. So there's a choice to be made. If anyone. So Jesus, right from this moment, he's saying, if anyone, again in the Greek, anyone there is anyone. But it's a choice that you can make. It doesn't say those who feel good. It doesn't say those who look good. It doesn't say those who are doing well or those who have got it made. It says, if anyone, just turn to somebody and say, that's me. If anyone says, well, there's loads that Jesus is speaking about here. First of all, he's saying if, it's a choice. It's a choice. It's not based on our feelings, not based on circumstances. This is not based on how well you're doing or not doing. This is just if anyone. But he has already said, have faith in God, put your trust in God. And he's saying, if your faith is in God, put your trust in him, then if anyone who puts their faith in God says. Now, what is he saying? Something powerful can happen when you put your trust in God and then you begin to speak from that place of trust and faith in God. Words, when your trust and faith is in God, become powerful and things happen. And so he says here, he says, have faith in God, put your trust in him. Don't put it anywhere else. Fix your eyes on him. I tell you the truth, so listen up, guys, because this is going to transform some things in your life. If anyone says, speaks to this mountain, no matter how big it is, and they just say, go, one word. He says, it will be removed. It will go. It will move. It's not many, many words. It's not how many words can I say to convince God that I believe what I'm praying or saying. It's not how many words can I say that make it sound more spiritual. Jesus just says here, if you got faith in God, you put your trust in him, and he says, just speak to the thing, whatever it is, and you just say, go. Amen. You don't even have to raise your voice. Because faith is not about volume. Right. Faith is about, I've got it. And when you've got it, you're convinced. You see, if you have something, you don't have to convince anybody that you've got it, because you've got it. You see, when people don't have something, sometimes they want to appear like they do, and so the way they speak and act, is they want to make their life look a bit better or more, whatever. But when you have something, you don't have to convince anybody, because you know, well, I've got it. That's it. It's a done deal. So when we speak from this place of trusting God, and he says, if anyone who trusts in me says, speaks, and they just say, go. Why does it not matter how loud it is? Because faith's not about volume. Faith is about authority. And when you have authority and you speak, you just have to say, go. And it has to go. Because the enemy and whatever you're speaking to recognizes authority. It recognizes faith. It recognizes noise. If we're just trying to shout something down, you know, the enemy goes, yeah, right, keep going, I don't mind, that's not going to affect me at all. But when somebody steps up who believes, knowing that God has spoken, and they're saying, this is it, this is the end of this sickness, this is the end of this circumstance, this is the end of this difficulty, this is the end of this cycle of pattern of what's been going on in and around my life, this is the end of this negative situation, this is the end of this whatever's going on, right, go, today, that's enough. I've had enough because my faith is in God. It's not in my words. It's not in my feelings. It's not in the circumstances. It's not in what somebody else has said. Because Jesus says it, I tell you the truth, whoever believes, says. Then it says, go throw yourself into the sea. This person does not doubt in their heart, but believes, puts their trust in him, that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Two things there. It sounds like two tenses confused in the sentence there. It says, if we just read it again, it says, I tell you the truth, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. It's like, hang on a minute. If I have received it, how come it will be mine? When you hear from something from God and you ask something, you're not asking him from... Asking isn't like a, God, would you mind? What's your answer? Yes or no? That's not what this is about here. So how many parents in the room, you feel like a walking wallet sometimes? You know, your kids come up to you and you know, asking for a fiver or a tenner or whatever they want, you know, it's like you're the cash machine. You know, your wallet or your purse, your handbag is like a cash machine for your kids, you know. And when my kids were little, they just thought when you go up to the cash machine, it just spurts out money for you. You know, so they were like, well, can't we just go to the cash machine? I can remember going into a toy shop in town. I can't remember if it was Joe or Toby. And there was one of those electric cars up on the shelf and everything. I think it was Toby, actually. And he's like, Dad, look, can we get one of those today? And I said, no, not today, mate. That's more of a kind of birthday thing than just walk into the toy shop and buy it thing, you know. And he goes, yeah, but have you not got any money on you? And I'm like, well, not enough to buy that, no. And he said, well, can't we just go to the machine and get it out of there? And you know, in their mind, it's brilliant because they just think, well, you might have it on you, but it's in there. And you know, it's not. We could do with not spending that today on that because there's a few other things we need to do. But you see, his asking was from a place of confidence. Oh, my dad's got money. If, you know, I ask him, I'll get something. So that's what it's like with the Father. Not that we're asking every whim that we want, but when we ask things in his name, aligned with his will, asking is not, God, would you mind? But it's asking in line with his will, knowing that what we ask, we receive. And when we receive it, we know that's a done deal. So if one of my kids says to me, can we do this on Saturday? And I say, yeah, sure, let's do it. In their mind, that's it, it's done. It's a done deal. They've asked, they've received, but they know that's it, it's done now. Or if I say to them, I'll give you your pocket money Saturday or whatever, Megan might say in here, Dad, you keep forgetting to give me my pocket money. But anyway, if they say, and you say, I'll give it to you Saturday, they know that's it, I'll get it Saturday. They've asked, that's it, it's a done deal. That's what it's talking about here. It's not, I'm going to keep asking God to remind him because he's forgotten and I need to just remind him because I know he's God, he's busy. He's probably forgotten my little situation. And we don't have to keep reminding God as if we're tapping him up for something. Faith is, and that's why faith is authored when God speaks. Because he authors faith in us. We don't have to try and get faith to author God to do something. It's the other way around. He speaks and authors faith in us so that we can live in a place of rest and peace. Because you know when he's spoken, it's like, that's it, it's settled on the inside. It doesn't matter, there can be storms around you. It can be a real challenge around your life. But when God has spoken, it can appear like you're running a 100-meter race without the hurdles there. Because faith says, I don't have to try and jump this thing myself. Faith says, God's going to enable me to get the victory. God's going to enable me to jump over. God's going to enable me to break through because he's spoken and I'm speaking in his name and there's things happening around my life. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Interesting little verse that comes next, though, just before we pray this morning. Whenever you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Wow. That's a little bit, a nice little one right at the end there, that Jesus just pops in. I wish he hadn't popped that bit in, but he popped it in there in verse 25. And he says, when you stand praying, make sure you got nothing outstanding going on with anybody else. What's he basically saying? If there's things outstanding, you're not going to be able to receive what needs to happen in your life because there's things outstanding with others. What does it really mean? Well, we need to forgive, be merciful, whatever we need to do with others. So then that opens up the flow of what God wants to do in our lives. So there's that channel to receive from him. Jesus speaks about this in Matthew as well, making sure that we've forgiven others, otherwise we're not forgiven. A lot of Christians don't like those verses because they're like, oh, I don't like that. God just forgives. He's gracious anyway, isn't he? Well, he is gracious. But we need to make sure our hearts are right towards other people. Because if we're not giving to others in that way, how can we expect God then to give to us if we're not saying, well, I'm going to be merciful, I'm going to grow? Because there's always something in us. If God wanted to and he shone his light on you and me right now, he would show us the rubbish that's going on in our lives. And it's like, wow, I don't deserve anything then from God. So we're perfect in Christ, but we've got to live out that relationship. And if God was only ever going to give anything to us because we walked perfectly, we'd be waiting a long time to get anything. And so God wants us to translate that as we're merciful to others and gracious towards others, he does the same with us. Because God's heart is to give. He's a gracious Father. He's a giving Father. His nature, the nature of love, is giving, to give. Let's stand together, shall we? And because we just need a few minutes to just respond to the Lord this morning. If we could have just Chad, I think, if you can come up, mate, that'd be brilliant. You can wear your sweatshirt if you want, it's fine. Unless you're hot. I thought you were going to take it off because you thought he looked scruffy for a minute. No. You look fine, Chad. There's some mountains, some stuff that we're going to speak to, okay? Now, what you don't have to do this morning is this. You know, you don't have to kind of set yourself, wind yourself up. And it's like, right, you know, I'm going to, all of that. What does the Bible say? When you stand praying. So we're standing this morning, right? And the context of the message this morning is putting your trust in God, putting your faith in him. So our faith is not in our words. See, I think sometimes the more we pray, the more words we use when we pray, we're just trying to find a place of faith somewhere because we keep praying and saying stuff because, you know, do I feel like God's listening yet? Do I feel like I'm getting an answer yet? And often the more words we pray is because it's based on I'm not feeling it yet. I'm not feeling it yet. I'm not feeling, if we're honest. And Jesus just said, go. One word. Speak to that mountain, go. It's not about our many words. It's about faith in God this morning. So let's just take a few moments. If you know there is anything outstanding towards anybody else, which is when you stand praying, if you need to forgive anybody, then forgive them so your Father in heaven can forgive you. See, when we don't forgive others, we're not being merciful. We're actually judging somebody else because we're saying I'm right, they're wrong, they don't deserve to be forgiven, or I'm not going to forgive. That's judging others. And when we're judging others, then we get judged with the same judgment that we're judging others. It's another thing that Jesus spoke about. So if you've got anything outstanding, then just do that this morning. If you've got quite a tough situation or something that's pretty major that's been going on where you know there's a big fallout, it's all of that, just at this moment, just ask the Holy Spirit, would you help me right now, Holy Spirit? I know I need to work through this situation, and I know I've got to get to the other side of it. So Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would just continue to work in my heart today. If you've got quite a major situation going on, situation maybe more than somebody just, you know, getting annoyed with you about something and you just got angry with them or whatever, there's those kind of things. And but if you've got something a bit more major going on, Holy Spirit, I ask you, you would help me right now to just work in my heart. You might have a lot of emotive stuff going on in within you or within your head at the moment. It's like, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven and they've done this and I'm la 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 and all of that. The person that'll affect the most is you. So as you stand praying this morning, as you stand before the Lord, just make a decision in the presence of God this morning. Jesus, everything on the inside of me is kicking off right now. But I choose, just make a decision, I choose to forgive that person. There's two or three people doing that right now, and the peace of God, the rest of God that is just coming upon you, you've been in angst for a little while. One particular person, you've been in angst for a little while about a situation, and you've known you've had to do this, but you just haven't been able to get yourself to that point. And this morning, as you're talking to the Lord, you just, it's like this peace is coming upon you. Just choose right now, I forgive. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you enable us to forgive. Be gracious, merciful towards others. Just wiping the slate clean. Father, I thank you this morning for what you're doing. Maybe some of you have looked at your 110 metre thing with loads of hurdles and you're just like, oh, I've had enough of this. Here's another one. Or it feels like I'm trying to jump five hurdles with gaps in between each one of them as well. This is just too much. If that's the point you're at to, then just be dead honest with God this morning, really honest with him. Say, God, I feel like giving up. That's how it appears. It's tough. It's hard work. I feel like I'm jumping three hurdles in one go with 10 metres between each one, and I don't know if I can stretch that far. I just feel like I'm caught in midair at the moment. I don't know where I'm at. Just tell him. Be honest with him. He loves honesty. Loves honesty. Tell him right where you're at. You don't have to have a go at him, but just say, God, this is where I'm at. This is what's happening in me. Father, I just give that to you right now. I give you all the stretching, the angst, the trouble, the whatever's going on. Just as you do that again, the peace of God just comes upon you. Circumstances, just give them to him right now. Challenging circumstances. God, I give you this thing. It's going round and round. Challenging this area of my life. It's been going on for a while. It could be a sickness thing. It could be a very practical thing in your life. Whatever it is, could be a relationship thing, just whatever it is, say, Father, I give that to you right now. See, the faith you have on the inside of this morning is overcoming faith. It's victorious faith. You might not feel like it, but faith isn't a feeling. Faith is something that you have. And as you exercise that faith, as you put it to work, you'll find that things begin to happen around you. Things begin to change. You begin to jump that hurdle. Take that jump. Take that step, as it were, to jump over that hurdle. We're going to speak to some things right now. It could be sickness in your body, mental, physical, emotional. It could be a circumstance around your life. It could be something in your family. It could be a very practical thing, a work-related thing. It could be whatever it is, but we're going to speak to those things right now. It's not going to be many words, but as we stand here this morning, we're already standing in the name of Jesus. So whatever it is, sickness, circumstance, whatever other issue it could be, work-related, whatever it is, Just believe there's somebody recently, you've had quite a few appliances and other things just at home breaking down and stuff with your car, and you just feel like, I've just been paying out for stuff and I haven't really got the finances to do it. Now, this might sound a weird thing to do, but I just believe God's saying, speak to the stuff that you have in your house. So I'm not going to have a house that keeps breaking down. So I speak into my life. I speak over my home. Everything that I've got work properly. That might sound a bit of a weird thing to say, but I do that when I pray about my own home and whatnot. Family, I speak to my family. I speak in prayer, speak to things. So whatever it is, are you ready? We're not going to do a big noisy thing, lots of shouting and everything like that. We're just going to stand in prayer right now. And we're going to stand and say, Father, I thank you that you give me the victory. Thank you this hurdle is defeated. All these hurdles, plural, are defeated. Because you have already dealt with them, defeated them on the cross. So let's just speak to these things right now. Whatever, if you have a sickness, just speak to it and say, sickness, you can name it, whatever it is, asthma, back pain, cartilage issues, muscle disorders, blood disorders. If you have a kidney or a liver, something that's not functioning properly in your body, just speak to it right now. Liver, I command you to be healed now. Just speak to your body. Aches and pains, I command you, go now. Headaches, go, finish, stop. I'm not having another one. Arthritis, stop now. Heart condition, stop right now. Not your heart stopping, the condition stopping. Whatever it is, speak to it right now. Somebody this week, you went and had your eyes tested and they said, oh, you've got the beginnings of a certain condition in your eyes. And God's saying, that's not what I'm speaking over your life. They might have said it, but I'm not. And you need to speak. Don't take that on board and say, oh, I'm beginning to get this now, and speak it over your life. No, God speaks something else over your life. So say what Jesus would say over your life. And whatever it is, whatever that's been diagnosed as, say, I speak to you, go right now. You don't have to wind yourself up. Just speak to it, go. Speak to my eyes, be healed. Somebody else in your whole congestive system, in your nasal passages and all of that, just be healed right now. Just speak to your body, be healed. Somebody else with the ringing in your ears, just say go right now. Go, leave. Some of you had some scenarios in families and relationships, particular relationship that's just been quite negative, and the scenario around it, that particular relation is not saved yet, not at this moment, and they're quite antagonistic, and there's a lot of issues going on around your life at the moment to do with that relationship in a family-related context. And you're like, surely it needs more than saying that, because it feels like a mountain. Surely I have to just hit it and take it on and just feel like I'm at war with this thing. And God's saying, no, have faith in me. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, it has to be moved. Just believe God's saying to you to speak into that situation, say, stop in Jesus' name. That turmoil, that angst, stop right now. Just give a command over your life right now. I just command that situation to change. Thank you that you work in my family member. Thank you that somehow you soften their heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There could be a work-related thing. You need to just speak to that this morning. Whatever it is. Father, we thank you for your victory in our lives. We thank you for victory in circumstance. We thank you for victory in our bodies. Thank you for sicknesses going, ailments going, illnesses going, diseases going. I thank you, Jesus. You might be here this morning, you don't know Jesus. And you're like, well, my faith is in myself. It's in the stuff that I do, in my work or my giftings, my talents and all of that. And God's like, it's great to have those things. They're temporal. They come and go. But I want you to have faith in me. I want you to have your trust in me. I want you to have a relationship with me. I want you to put your life in my hands. See, that's a step of faith right there. To put your life into God's hands. But I tell you, if you're going to put your life into somebody's hands, God's are the best ones to put it in. Because his hands are a lot bigger, stronger than yours, mine or anybody else's. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees all things. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you inside out. He's jealous for you. Even though you might not know him, he is jealous for you. He wants you to know him. He gave his life on the cross for you. Hung there thinking about you. Taking every sin, everything that could separate you from him on himself. Even though you and me, we're guilty. We stuffed up. But yet God, because he is love, the Bible says that because God so loved the world, he gave. See, God's nature is to give. He can't help it. It's his nature. And he gave to you by dying on a cross 2,000 years ago. To deal with all the stuff that could separate you from him. You can come this morning to him and say, God, I want to respond to you. You might be standing there going, well, I need to find out a bit more. Got a few more questions. Great. Just keep asking away. Ask others. You can come and chat with me afterwards. I'll try and answer any questions you got. But if you're at the point this morning where your heart's beating, you're like, man, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to get right with God. Because you need to get to that point if you're going to respond to God. God's not just a quick prayer and a slot machine to get what you want out of life. He is God Almighty. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe. He was and is to come. You'll never be able to fathom him totally. But one day, if you give your life to him, you could spend eternity with him and know God in an amazing way. But he wants you to meet with him this morning. If you're here this morning and you know, oh, I just want to give my life to him, I want to respond, just take a few moments and just put in your own words initially to take a step towards him. Say, God, I'm here. I don't know you, but I know that you know me. Somehow I get this sense this morning, you know me. I don't know you, but I want to. I know I need to be forgiven because I've stuffed it. My life's going all right on some levels, but I know deep down on the inside, I need God. I need you. Because knowing God's about your eternal destiny. It's not about what you have and don't have in the natural. It's about what you have spiritually. And if you don't have God, then you're spiritually, you're in poverty. You've got absolutely nothing. Might sound a bit harsh, but that's the reality. But God's nature is to give. To give himself to you so as you give yourself to him. God, forgive me for all the stuff I've done wrong. I want to put my life into your hands. I want you to be in the driving seat. I want you to be Lord of my life, number one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank you for his goodness this morning. Thank you for what he's doing in your life, in your body, in your whatever's going around. He talks about ask whatever and you receive. You have what you ask for in prayer and it will be done. Father, we praise your mighty name. We thank you, Jesus. You're so good, so good. Father, we thank you that this victorious life we have, we can take that victory to others so that they can jump hurdles and be who they can be in their lives, who you've called them to be. So, Father, we praise your mighty name. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The presence of God's here. God is here this morning. See, faith is weighty, not heavy. Carries authority, not just volume. The Bible says there's an assurance of faith. So you can live confidently this week with an assurance of faith. The faith you have is victorious, it's overcoming faith. No matter what comes up this week, whatever hurdle might appear on your race this week, your race of endurance this week, no matter what comes up, you have the faith to overcome. You have the faith to get through. And you've got the faith to encourage others as we walk together in the things of God. We thank you, Jesus. Just thank him, shall we, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.